with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this third Sunday in Advent, traditionally the Gaudete, the rose-colored Sunday of rejoicing in the midst of our repentance of Advent. Today we hear how Jesus answers the doubts of his first century followers and answers our doubts also. We welcome Pastor John Lukomsky as our guest preacher. He'll also be teaching Bible class today. Actually, we have two options for Bible class. The real life class will meet down in classroom one. The main adult class will meet back in the social hall as usual. And if you've never had the privilege of hearing Pastor John teach, you will enjoy it. Advent midweek service is Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. This week it's Great Expectations for St. Nicholas. Thank you to everybody who helped decorate for Christmas, and a special thanks to Wendy. Where's Wendy? Back in the back. For all of the work, if you've seen the creche out in the front, she repainted everything that Dewey and Dottie had created, many years ago. And how appropriate, because Dewey and Dottie live next door to you and are the reason that you guys are members of Christ our Savior. Did you get help with that from maybe a son and a husband, or were you all by yourself? So a thanks to them also. It's an amazing amount of work. And an official welcome to Luella Lozy, although she's not here or isn't here yet. This morning she is transferred to us from Zion Congregation in Belleville. That is Brenda Stein's mom. Christine. So enjoy and sign. In our prayers, we include Jeanette Ernst, who will be having cataract surgery, and we include Devin Kemmerer in our prayers. Any other prayers or announcements? Monica.
For our grandson, Liam, he's just dealing with illness. If we could please.
Absolutely. Any others? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship and know that he will bless us this day as he comes to us in his word and his supper, preparing us for his final advent.
Divine Service, page 151.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may kneel or sit for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The Kyrie, page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 35. Note the emphasis on rejoicing. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The epistle is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job and have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia! I will send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples who said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see.
The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson, where we are told, Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? This is the word of the Lord. Now when John heard in prison, My, how the mighty have fallen, huh? If you were here last week, we had another text about John the Baptist, and I tell you what, he was the talk of the town, wasn't he? We were told in Matthew 3 that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And he was so bold and so cocky, this John the Baptist, that when the leaders of the church came out, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming to his baptism, he publicly. Can you get that? In front of all these people, he publicly rebuked them, saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In fact, he actually had the audacity to tell them, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, 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 Mr. John the Baptist, and all your words of judgment and condemnation, now you're the one that's sitting in the dungeon of King Herod. And if you are a Pharisee and a Sadducee, you're thinking, well, I guess that proves that we were right, that John the Baptist is just another one of those crazy guys. Because if he really were a prophet of God, honestly, if he really were a prophet of God, do you think God would have allowed him to be confined in the prison of this pagan king, Herod? No, obviously we were right and John was wrong. Of course, we're not going to tell the public about that, because the public, the crowds, they still like him. But we know the truth. And people think that way, don't they? When things are going good and you're prosperous and you have all kinds of blessings, well, I must be doing something right, right? God is blessing me. He must like me. And vice versa, when things go wrong, when we have trials and struggles, well, there must be something wrong. I must be sinning. God must. You know, you see a blind guy. Who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? Because you know something's got to be wrong that God would put those kind of crosses and trials on you. And of course, that's just a lie. It's a lie of the devil. But John, isn't that remarkable? John apparently is tempted to believe that way too. John is wrestling with, well, why hasn't the axe been laid at the root of the tree? Why hasn't the judgment that I preach come? Why am I in prison? In fact, consider this, the mighty John, who at one point directed everyone's attention to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," now says, "Are you the one to come, or should we look for another?" Now, I need to acknowledge that not everyone would agree with that interpretation of our story. Several of the early church fathers, and Martin Luther himself, thought that John didn't have any doubts that what's going on in our text, the sending of the disciples to Jesus to ask the question, "Are you the one?" that this was just intended for those disciples, that John didn't have any doubts, but his disciples had some doubts, and therefore he sends them to Jesus. Now, if so, that's a good point. That's a point you should take note of, because that's what church leaders should do. Oh, well, you do take note of it. I wouldn't have brought it up otherwise. That's what church leaders should always be directing their disciples' attention to Jesus Christ. If you have authority, if you are in a position of leadership, you should always be directing your followers' attention to Jesus Christ. This was demonstrated dramatically in my life back in May when I retired. Because if the good people of Trinity, Darmstadt, and St. Paul and the Wathans were coming to church because of Pastor John, oh man, now they're in a pickle, because Pastor John left, and he went up to the green pastures of Northfield, Minnesota. At least they were green when we were up there. They're snowy white now, and I guess it's going to be snowy white here too. But you get my point? Pastors retire. Pastors take calls. Pastors die. But Jesus remains, right? No matter who the pastor is, Jesus remains. That's what he says. "Lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." And as Christians, too, I think it's important for you to remember that, too. That while you are there for people, you are there to love and to care for them. And that's why you are there, because God made you husband and wife. He made you mother and father. He made you brother and sister. You're here for a reason, to love and to care for people. And yet it's important for you to keep pointing people to Jesus as well, because you will not always be there, but Jesus will. On the other hand, the great Lutheran commentator R.H. C. Lenski, and I don't even know what R.H.C. stands for. We just called him Lenski. He was the guy that wrote this entire Lutheran conservative commentary on the entire New Testament. It was required reading when I went to seminary. Did you have Lenski? Oh, thank God. Lenski argues, no, that I'm sure the disciples had doubts. Their leader was in prison. But that John probably had some doubts, too. In fact, Lenski bases his conclusion on the text that we have before us today. Because you will notice that they come and ask the question of Jesus, and Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. Whatever it is that Jesus is going to tell these disciples, it wasn't just for them. It was for John, and it's also for you and me. That's the neat thing. And what Jesus... Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. The reason Luther and some of the early church fathers didn't want to think of John as having doubts is because our text does say that he was the greatest man born of woman, right? So if you're the greatest man born of woman, how could you have doubts about anything? And yet you will note in the text, Jesus says he was the greatest man born of woman, but he's the least when compared to those that are in the kingdom of heaven. Because you see, the problem is, no matter how good you are in this world, you could indeed be the very best person that ever was living here on this earth. The problem is, you're still a sinner. You're not going to get away from that. King David, he confesses, you know, I was born in sin and conceived in iniquity. The Apostle Paul reminds us that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who I'm thinking probably was a pretty good guy, he says, I'm the worst of sinners. See, as long as you're in this sinful flesh, you are always going to be troubled. You just can't avoid it. I'm sorry. You will not reform your flesh. You will not make it better. You cannot improve it. The only thing you can do with it is kill it. That's all you can do with it. But in heaven, see, that won't be an issue, will it? No. Because in heaven, you won't have the sinful flesh. You'll have something. You'll have a glorious body like unto Christ's body. But you won't be troubled by it. But here you are. Here you are. Here you have your doubts. Even John. They're no greater than John, but he and Jesus gives an answer to him and to you. And it's worth contemplating the answer. Because here's the first surprising thing. Jesus is the Son of God, right? You believe that here, don't you? Okay. And so Jesus could have easily just spoken and said, John, everything will work together for you good. John, don't worry, I will be with you no matter what. But did you see what Jesus actually does in our text? If you would look here at verse, where is it where Jesus starts talking there? Verse 5. What Jesus does is he actually starts quoting the Bible. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. He is actually quoting your Old Testament lesson for today, which was what, Isaiah 35? That's what he's doing. He's quoting Isaiah 35. Now think about this. Jesus quotes the scripture. It's the same thing he does when he is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. You'll have that story in just a few weeks. And I'm thinking Jesus could simply answer on his own, right, to Satan, but instead he quotes the Bible. It's the same thing Peter does on Pentecost. The text says that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, which means his words literally are the scripture. And yet Peter on Pentecost does what every good pastor does. He starts by reading from the Bible. He reads from the book of Joel. Now, doesn't that tell you something about the Bible? That must be something pretty impressive if Jesus feels like he needs to quote it when he's comforting people. And don't you see what a great comfort that is to you? Because you might be saying, oh, well, I've got doubts. Man, I wish I could have been a disciple of John. I wish I could have come and hear Jesus' very words from his own mouth. You silly people, don't you realize every time you hear, learn, mark, and really digest the words of Holy Scripture, you are hearing the words of Jesus spoken directly to you. What marvelous words. Isaiah said that the deaf would hear and the blind would see, and Jesus says, look around you, it's happening. Look around you, it's happening now. People are getting healed right and left, are they not? Raise your hand if you've been sick and you got better. Raise your hand if that ever happened to you. Now, of course, we're so foolish as to think, well, it's because I took bear aspirin or the doctor prescribed something. But you know good and well there's all kinds of people that take medicine and go to the doctors and they don't get better. Do you not understand if you have experienced healing, that came through the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his humility chose to use doctors and medicines as his means. But it's still Jesus that's doing the healing. Then Jesus changes the text. He jumps to Isaiah chapter 61. This business about, where is it at here? And the poor have good news preached to them. That comes right out of Isaiah 61. And by the way, John would have known this, right? John knew his Bible by heart. He was the last of the old T prophets. He knew all the prophets that came before him. And yes, that's what it said in Isaiah. The poor have good news preached to them. Only the English has to take a bunch of words to say what the original language says in one word. Literally, in the original language, what it says is they were euangelized. That's kind of an English version of that. Literally, it says they were good-newsed. They were good-newsed. Because it is a reminder that when it comes to the words of Jesus, it isn't about these words and they're out there and it's what Jesus thinks or his opinion. No, his words literally change things, just like he did when he created the world. He literally good newses people. So what I'm saying is that just a moment ago, Pastor Kaysman got up in the name and the stead and the command of Jesus Christ, and what did he say to you? What about your sins? What did he say about your sins? What? They are what? Forgiven. When he said that, that's what happened. He really did. Now, you may have trouble. You may doubt that, but it's a fact. You were good news at that very moment. In just a few minutes, you're going to come up, and again, Pastor Kaysman is going to speak words to you. He's going to say, this is the body, this is the blood. Better than that, it's the body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And you need to know, even though there may be some doubts, it's exactly what happens at that moment. Your sins are forgiven. You are literally at that moment good news. But here's the surprising thing. If you know your Bible, if you know Isaiah 61, Jesus leaves something out. Now, generally, that's not a good idea. Don't leave stuff out. But I'm going to read to you what it actually says in Isaiah 61, and I want you to think about what does Jesus leave out and why? Because I think you can answer that question. Here's what Isaiah originally said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. To good news the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, what did Jesus leave out when he was quoting Isaiah 61? The opening of the prison to our bound. Now, why would he have left that out? That's kind of a neat promise. Why? Because he knew it wasn't going to happen for John, was it? No prison's open for John. John's going to die in that dungeon. John is going to experience this terrible, cruel thing because of a woman who is proud and she talks her daughter into being part of this plan where John gets beheaded and his head is brought before King Herod on a platter. You are overwhelmed by the cruel things that happen in this world today. Nothing has changed. Cruelty is not new. It's always been that way. Now, it could be argued that Isaiah is speaking figuratively here when he talks about the liberty of the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. It could be argued that actually this will happen for John. It will happen for all of us. We are slaves to sin. We are captive to death. Christ is going to overcome both of those things for us. But don't you understand, in this context, you cannot be speaking spiritually to a guy who's in the dungeon. And so he leaves it out. So that John knows full well that all of his fears are true. He is going to die in that prison before any judgment comes on the earth. But then Jesus adds something, which again is not a good practice for you. But if you are the Son of God, you can add stuff. Because in the book of Hebrews, we are told long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And John is the last and greatest of these. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Would anyone want to venture a guess? What is the new thing that Jesus says that you will not find in Isaiah 35 or Isaiah 61? In fact, you cannot find it anywhere in the prophet Isaiah. Anyone want to venture a guess what the new thing is that Jesus says? And the dead are, you can say it, and the dead are what? Raised. And if you're a guy that's going to die, that's the good news you want to hear. Now, John already knows about the good news of forgiveness. That's what he preached, right? He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away from the sins of the world." But what about when we die? What happens there? And now Jesus says, well, because of that forgiveness of sins, you will not stay dead. You will have eternal life. You will be resurrected, John. And the only guy who could say that is the guy who was going to go and suffer and die for our sins and then rise again so that we might be justified in his resurrection. You see, the great thing about John is I believe he did have doubts because people have doubts. But the great thing about John is he knew where you go when you have doubts. You go to Jesus Christ. So he went to Jesus, and Jesus simply spoke the truth. Didn't pull any punches. Not every lame person gets healed. Not every blind person sees. Not every deaf person gets to hear. Sometimes people die. That's what happens. But he told them the truth. And the truth is that we're all forgiven. We're all loved by God. And we will all rise from the grave. That's what he told John. And that's what he told you this morning. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Nicene Creed, page 158. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As people who have had our doubts
answered by our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for the Lord's mercy on us and on all people. For the members of St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Paul, and this congregation, that each of us live with joy in the Lord as we wait for his will and purpose to unfold in these latter days, that we be granted patience to endure with faith the difficult changes and chances of this mortal life. Let us pray to the Lord. For Laith and for all of us who remember our baptisms, for hearts that trust in the Lord at all times, for courage to confront our doubts and our fears with the word of the Lord, and for strength to fulfill our vocations of worship and witness and prayer and works of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who speak God's word to us in our day as John the Baptizer did in his day, for those preparing for full-time church work, for our parish leaders and our members, for the church's schools where people are taught and learn the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for our bold confession of Christ in a world that is often unfriendly to the gospel, for compassion and kindness in our words and our works so that we don't become unnecessary impediments to the proclamation of Jesus. For the Fritschis, Di Libertos, Naumanns, and all who serve in the mission field, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this world and those entrusted with positions of leadership in governments, that they be given godly wisdom so that they help rather than harm our people. For the servicemen and women who defend us and our nation. For those who enact, enforce, and judge by the laws that protect us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the joy of work, for thankful hearts that are grateful for the fruits of our labor and the opportunity to provide for our families, for those who desire employment, for our marriages and our families, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor and the hungry, the widow and the orphan, the aged and the infirm, those suffering mental illness and bodily illness, for all who desire help and healing, including Liam, Jeanette, Aaron, Devin, the Martinez family, Holly, Joshua, Hope, Mark, Dave, Clem, Nina, Oris and his family, Roger, Beth, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Sherry, Norma, Charlie, Herb, Parker, and Reagan. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the dying, that they receive care, for the grieving, that they be comforted, and for those who care for the dying and the grieving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in prison, for chaplains who serve them with the word of God, for those who face persecution for the sake of Christ, that they remain steadfast in the face of violence and terror, that their families be kept in God's care. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For repentant, joyful, and peace-filled hearts that receive with faith and gratitude that blessed communion of Christ's body and blood, and for the nourishment of our lives in Christ through this holy sacrament, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful hearts that remember those who persevered in the faith and now rest with Christ, for humility that learns from their example of faith and works, and for the Lord to hasten the day when Christ returns in glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Blessed Lord, we are worthy of none of the things for which we ask, and yet you continue to answer our doubts, fill us with joy, and lavish on us the riches of your mercy. So hear our prayers, supply what we need for this body and life, sustain us in faith, and prepare us for the coming of your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Offertory, page 159. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread,
and forgive
us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And
lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the
sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the
sin.
Behold the Lamb of God that bears the world's transgression, whose sacrifice removes
the devil's sin.
Whoever shed the body and blood of Jesus, who has come to the world,
who takes away our sin, who for our peace and joy.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all their sins. Take heed, this is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death. Born thou set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us.
Diadems of gold.
take the crucifixion body of Christ.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Rejoice, O pilgrim throng, rejoice, give thanks and